Ready or not, here it comes. Do you know that whether you like Christmas season or get into it or not, it's going to happen? We can't stop it. So whether you are totally celebrating and loving every part of this season, or you're saying, bah, humbug, you can't stop it. It's coming. It's going to come around. New Year's and Christmas are going to roll around, ready or not. 'Tis the season. But this morning I want us to take a look at and remember what the season is all about, lest we get so caught up that it comes and goes and we're really just glad it's over and we missed it. Anybody? Yeah, let's pray. Father God, we need your spirit right now to take your word and to apply it to our hearts. I pray that you would soften my heart. I pray that you would soften this family's hearts, those listening. I just pray right now that you would do the work that only you can do, Revelator. Holy Spirit, you bring revelation. You bring understanding. And I'm praying for you to do that so that our core, our very being would be enlightened by your words of truth this very day. Be glorified. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. And we just ask that you create in us a clean heart and that the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts would be very acceptable to you. That is my earnest prayer, Lord. So be it. Amen. Amen. So whether or not you are delighting in this season, this whole Christmas thing, which includes giving of gifts, possibly, card sending, party going, caroling, concert attending, maybe some extra grocery shopping, cookie baking, deeper house cleaning, decorating and undecorating, package mailing, menu planning. What have I forgotten, girls? I forget anything?
Resting.
Lest you forget in all of that, the reason for the season is the joy. Jesus is the reason we celebrate his coming to earth to reconcile us to his Father. Now, I don't have any statistics on this, but I think there's a lot of people that are singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Except for maybe the ladies. I think there's a lot of people possibly singing that, but it gets to be so much with our to-do lists. But I don't want us to throw out the baby with the bathwater when it comes to Christmas. Not a good thing. Don't get so caught up that we just, let's get it over with. It's so painful. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is going to meet us right where that pain is. He's going to meet us where that deficit is, because he is there for us at all times, and he has come, the peace giver, the peacemaker, the joy to this world. Amen. Amen. Keep those amens coming. So this morning I want you to grab your remote. Okay, got your remote. Push pause. Okay, we're going to push pause, and we're going to consider this morning what might possibly be on Jesus' wish list. If he were to hand you right now and say, "Pastor Tim, this is what I want from you this Christmas, this year." If he was to look into your heart and he was to ask you, he had a wish list or a gift list for you, what would it read? Think about it just a moment. Take a moment to think. Pause. What do you want from me, Lord? We sang it earlier. He wants our hearts. I think if we could sum up everything, whether it's an attitude change, more praise, more obedience, it's always a heart issue. He's asking for our heart in full. Lord, I give you my heart. We have nothing, no thing, nothing to lose by giving him all of our heart. He challenged me as I was studying this week with four specific things, and I just really deliberately decided that I'm going to make these things that I look at today with you, things that I strive to do, things that I focus on for this coming year. and for especially this season to think about. The first thing that would really honor him, I believe, and that the Lord desires from us is growth, a growing heart. 2 Peter 3:17 through 18 says, "But you, my friends, whom I love, are forewarned and should therefore be very careful not to be carried away by the errors of wicked men and so lose your proper foothold. On the contrary," he says, "you should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever until the dawning of the day of eternity." He said, "I would that you would grow in grace." And grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor. He's looking for growth. I really can almost hear him saying, "This life-giving, unconditional, loving Father that is so patient." I can hear him saying, "I desire a growing heart that longs to spend time with me, getting to know me." He said, "Your faith muscles will grow as you read my words of truth. They are life to you. Read them and you will grow. Your perseverance muscles will grow as you stay on your faith course, keeping me in your focus, deliberately trusting, doing the very things that I teach you." I also believe I heard in my spirit the Lord just speaking to us that he has on his gift list, secondly, that he would like us to know and share in what interests him. Do you know what interests him? Do you know what he's about? The things that interest Christ are these. Christ desires to bring God the Father glory. Okay? He desires to help hurting people. And he came to destroy the devil's works. That's what interests him. It is written in Isaiah chapter 61. This was a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later in the New Testament Gospels, it's recorded that the scrolls were opened by Jesus himself, and he read this in the temple. And he proclaimed to all the fulfillment of this prophecy. It reads, "The Lord God will anoint his servant with his spirit. The spirit of Almighty God is with me because he has anointed me to deliver good news to humble people. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to announce that captives will be free and prisoners will be released. He has sent me to announce the year of the Lord's goodwill and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort those who grieve. He sent me to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to give them crowns instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of tears of grief, the clothes and the garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness and weakness." And the Lord wants us to share in what he does. He wants us to know what interests him and have interest in those very things. He has left us as his ambassadors. We represent Jesus. We're Jesus with skin on. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21 says, "So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." We sang this morning. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is Christmas. That is why we celebrate. He made him who knew no sin to come as a babe in the flesh, to suffer and die, we celebrate so that we would have abundant life. Not just barely making it life, but abundant, to the full, to the overflowing, that kind of life. I continue in this passage. It says, that is, that we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious, loving kindness. He became sin who knew no sin. Wow. Amen. Have you ever met someone that you didn't know, and then when you kind of got to know them, you said, wow, I'm never going to be able to be close to them. We have absolutely nothing in common. Don't look at your spouse right now. Sorry. But seriously, you know, you kind of gravitate towards people. Oh, I love it. Love, love, little affection. We gravitate towards people that we have things in common with. Yes, if you're sports-minded or gardening-minded or eating-minded or whatever it may be, you gravitate towards people that you like to do things with. Do you like to be with the Lord? Do you have things in common with him? Do you long to share his heart's interests? Are you okay with feeling his heart? His compassion? His sorrows? You know, Paul said in Philippians 3 that he wanted to be acquainted with his griefs, his sufferings, so that he would also share in his glory. Now, we're quick to say, oh, I want to sign me up for the glory. Sign me up for the glory that'll raise the dead. But we don't want to go through the suffering, the laying down of the flesh, the pride, the crucible, the crucifixion, the Gethsemane's, the will thing. Not my will, but thine be done. We want to go right on to the happy. But Paul said, I want to share in his sufferings. What interests you, Lord? I want to know your heart. And if you can even trust me with a skosh, I want to join hearts with your heart for this world. I want to join hearts with your heart to bring the Father glory, to help hurting people, to destroy the works of Satan. That's what he's interested in. So how about if we truly start or continue to show interest, to care what he cares about? Let's no longer be indifferent, okay? Let's not look the other way. Let us stop being self-centered and be others-centered. Preach it, sister. Amen. Let's be careful not to be just pew warmers or someone who sits on the bleachers watching everybody else getting it done. I'll say to you, at least grab some pom-poms. Just get some pom-poms and come cheer them on. Yes, yes. Encourage others. Do you know that that's a ministry in the Bible, to be an encourager? This couple is a wonderful Ramsey couple. We got to spend time with them having lunch a few weeks ago. And we know that they're, one of their many giftings is that they are encouragers. Could anybody use another encourager? Yes. Get some pom-poms. Come encourage these guys at 2 a.m. Bring your pillow and your blankie and encourage these guys when they're decorating and they're doing all these things. And be sure to be here to help clean it all up. Okay, can we do that? Can we be involved? I think we can do more. I think we can do more. Someone sitting close to you, across the aisle, perhaps next door, on the job, may be weary. They may be weary, growing tired. And you could say just the right thing. Some people are feely touchy. You could hug them. Text them, call them, email them, give them a card. You could do that. That's what the love letter, the B-I-B-L-E is. That's my word of encouragement. When we get into God's word, we're encouraged. He loves on us. He gives me hope. Does he give you hope? That's what his word does. We can bring that word into the lives of the other people and giving them hope. The Lord longs for you to be interested. He longs for me to be interested in what he is doing to bear fruit. How do we destroy the works of Satan? Where there is hatred, sow love. Where there is sorrow, sow comfort. Where there is fear, sow some peace. Where there is pain, offer prayers. When you have been hurt, when you have been wronged, offer pardon. Forgiveness. Let it go. That's the third thing. The third gift that would be on his wish list for us is not optional, however. His holy word makes it very clear that this gift is not optional. Our future depends on our giving this gift to others. Let me explain. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the results that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses." Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Is it optional?
No.
Do we need to have our sins forgiven?
Yes.
If our sins are forgiven and we're right standing with our Heavenly Father because of Jesus, we will spend eternity with Him in heaven. If our sins are not forgiven and we have not received that fullness because we have decided to harbor, to hold grudges, to be bitter, resentful, angry, where will we spend eternity? Okay? It's not gray. God's word is very clear. But if you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven your sins. I don't read it any other way, and I will not preach it any other way. Okay? Hallelujah is right. It goes on to say in the Gospel of Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, like we have done this morning in prayer, we've stood, we've praised, if you have anything against anyone, wow, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go. Why? So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. It's pretty clear. And I was thinking about this whole issue of forgiveness and unforgiveness not being optional. And I read a wonderful book while I was gone, A Heart That God Hears, by Wes Doffenbaugh. Boy, it was powerful. I'm going to make sure that it's in your hands before the end of this season. I'll tell you what, we got to get this right. Can I just say, we gotta get this right. We've gotta stop bickering and biting and chewing and be critical and picking at our scabs and picking at our old wounds and reminding others of what was done, what he done, what she done. It's not optional. If we have to keep on talking about it and posting about it and saying about it and calling about it, we have not forgiven from the heart. It's not okay. What part of let it go don't we understand? I think I'm starting to preach. I don't know, honey. Starting to preach. Where am I even at? I don't even know here. I think our prayers are hindered. I know our prayers are hindered. Our prayers are hindered. He says, if you harbor and you coddle and you keep this sin kind of all tucked in nice, and I won't hear your prayers. And it says, how can you say you love God and then hate your brother that you see when you haven't even seen God? How do you do that? It's not possible. Light and dark don't mix. And you know what, you guys? It is impossible for us to do it in and of our own will and of ourselves. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Will it in me. Lord, turn my heart towards you and not towards selfishness, self-centeredness. Create in me a clean heart to want to, and give me the power and the grace. How's your joy level? How's your peace level? How's your anger level? How's your patience level? Do you feel like the prayers are getting this high and then... Well, you know, guys, I can relate. And I go back to saying, Lord, is there somebody that I have not made things right with? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Okay? And can hide things even from our understanding until we ask God, search me, O God. The truth is, when we refuse or fail to forgive others, even God, we invite misery to rot our bones and to bring us into the state of torment. The Bible gives a great illustration of that. It blocks his flow. He doesn't change, but because of us, there is a way that just completely blocks his voice, his presence, his power, everything that we need, our sustenance is taken when we do not forgive. Mark 11, 24 and 25. I tell you, good news here, you guys. You can pray for anything, and if you believe that you'll receive it, it'll be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You getting it? Are we getting it? Okay. Another book that I read this week that Wes wrote, he was the evangelist that was with us this summer for our forgiveness forum. He's got some powerful teachings out there. And he has a little book that's called Faithful Sayings, and he calls them his jewels of wisdom. And they have been taught by the Lord throughout the years, and I want to share just a few of those with you this morning. He said, a critical spirit, think about this, a critical spirit means having the devil's point of view. Wow. Ouch. On the contrary, a sweet spirit is a human spirit that always keeps itself under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What are you under the influence of? Anger? Fear? Jealousy? Envy? Pride? Self-pity? A sweet spirit is a human spirit that always keeps itself under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that just settle good? That just goes down good. Good. He goes on to say, learning to forgive people before they ask for forgiveness is the first lesson in developing a sweet spirit. Do you remember somebody on the cross saying, Father, forgive them? They know not what they do. They didn't ask for forgiveness. Lavish it. Be generous. Freely we have received, freely give out forgiveness. Don't hold it back. Just give it. Don't take the bait to be offended. Just let it go. Don't rehearse in your mind the wrongs that have been done to you. Forget what you forgive. Here's another one of his quotables. Self-pity is like a locomotive. So see this train coming down the track, and the locomotive is self-pity, and it pulls the other boxcars of sin into your life. How's that? Well, self-pity. Behind it, I got a little resentment, a little anger, I got a little bitterness. I got a little revenge. I got some spite. I got some meanness. I got some grumbling and I've got some complaining. Are those sins? Okay. Well, I didn't know complaining was a sin, Cheryl. Yeah, it kind of is, yeah. The Word of God says, do everything without grumbling or
anxiousness.
Thank you. Be anxious for nothing. Notice how long the children of Israel wandered in the desert because they grumbled and they complained. Having and giving a heart of forgiveness towards others, including God. And that can sometimes be hard when we don't understand His ways. We don't like the things that happen in life. We've got to just trust Him. But I can tell you this is paramount, that we forgive. Not only for our present life, the quality of that present life, but for the future life and the quality of that life. I need a huge amen. Okay? Okay, this is truth. All right, let's review the wish list so far. G, what does He want from us? Okay, growth in all aspects of our life. Grow in God's grace. Okay, and bearing fruit and reading His word in times of prayer and in our worship. Just grow. Just grow. Can we just grow? I said I wasn't going to talk about the grandkids, so we'll talk about yours or your kids. I love to come back, and those girls, I'm sure they've grown an inch since I was gone. I'm sure they have, you guys. But that's what we want. I would be disappointed if I would look at the littles and we don't see growth. Sometimes I think that we're still in diapers. We're like in that high chair with our little pacifier having the fit and throwing the stuff on the floor. Turn to somebody and just say, grow up. Just kidding. Just, could you grow up? He just says growth, growth. Could you grow up? Okay, I. What is the second thing on the wish list? Interest. Okay? He wants us to be interested in what interests Him. Get to know Him. Know what's on His heart. Be willing to share His heart. And that might mean we suffer and we pray and we cry. We stand in the gap for others. F was what? Forgiveness. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In James 1, 19 through 25, I chose the Message version because it's really funny. And I love this paraphrase. It's very visual. This is what Eugene Peterson says in the Message. He says, act on what you hear. Okay, verse 19. Post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears. In other words, be quick to listen. Follow up with your tongue, so be slow to speak. And then let anger straggle along in the rear. So it's like, it's way back there. It's like, come on. Anger is slow. It's just way back there. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. How beautiful could that be? Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Instead, act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, they walk away, and 2 minutes later they have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of your eye, and if you stick with it, and if you're not distracted like a scatterbrain, but you are a man or a woman of action, that person will find delight and affirmation in that action. Basically, be doers of the word and not hearers only. That is like looking in the mirror and seeing some broccoli in your tooth and just going away and forgetting about it. And just smiling at everybody all day. You got that big broccoli thing hanging right there. Oh, really? Whatever. Okay. Hello. And I'm going to just say, we did a little song in little kids' church about the wise man and the foolish man. Who was the wise man? What did he build his house on? Okay. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the floods and the rains and the storms and the tsunamis of life came, which they will come, anybody? Anybody? Okay. It's a guarantee in this life. We will have trials and tribulation and troubles. But it says the difference is the man who built his house on the rock, the wise man, was the man who was a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Do you know that? Do we know that? Okay. So if you feel like things are crumbling, things are sinking, things are going down, maybe we need to see if we are just hearing and it goes out instead of doing. Are we trusting? Are we leaning? Are we committing? Are we praying? I'm just curious. In school, how many of you ever took home ec? How about shop? How about a science? How about a computer lab? Band? Art? A sport? Okay. So basically, a class where you did the textbook, but then you actually went into the learning lab, or you went on the field, or you went in the shop, or you went and did it. You did it. You didn't just read about it, but you did it. Okay. How many like those classes? You like doing it. Yeah, I love art, or, you know, let's go do it. Let's forget the books and go do it. How many have a smartphone? Okay. How many do not have the smarts to go with the smartphone? Okay. So, Mindy and I were shopping, and this lady wanted to show us a picture on her smartphone, and she says, I need a young person. I can't find my photos, you know. So Mindy grabs the phone, and I told Mindy later, I said, you know, Mindy, you should have really taught her. You should, cause she's gonna be needing a young person forever to find her photos. You could have just, isn't that the way? Your computer doesn't work, your phone doesn't work, so you grab one of these smart, techo, yellow, whatever people, and they grab it and they do da da. Well, I don't like that. I say, when my son comes to help me, I said, no, don't do it for me. Show me, teach me, step by step. Because when you go, that's how I learn, by doing. You don't just read about how to cook the pie, you go and make the pie, amen. You don't just read about fixing the car, you go and learn how to fix the car and change the oil. And so on and so forth. Being doers of the word. Our brains are so complex. We have a left side, and that's where we process language and numbers, our analytical thinking. That's our knowledge or our knowing side of the brain. Then the right side of the brain comes along. That's where there's creativity, imagination, emotional intelligence, expression, the doing side of the brain. Okay. So, how many of you are using all of your brain? Are you? We get the knowledge thing. And I can remember I was texting a friend one time, all this stuff, that, and the text came back, I know. Well, then why aren't you doing it? If you know, you know. You know, we know, but we're not doing it. We know to forgive, but we're not. We know to praise, but we're not. Okay? Let's use all of our brains, folks. Okay? Let's use all of our brains. Lastly, the Lord would love us to bring to Him a trusting heart. A trusting heart. We're growing in God's grace. And we're growing in knowing Christ. I'll tell you what. When you get to know somebody, really good, you trust them. And I've said this before with the girls in teaching. If you really know me and you really trust me, you'll give me the keys to your home when you go on a 2-week vacation. If you have children and you know me and you trust me, you'll let me take care of those kiddos for 2 weeks while you go on a cruise. If you know somebody, you trust them. If you don't know them, not so much. Not going to give them the keys to your car, not going to give them the keys to your house. Certainly not going to let them into your heart. But when you know his character and you get to know him by his word, spending time with him, then you can trust him easily. We can then say with confidence, Lord, because I know you, I've spent time with you, I know your heart, I know your ways. I can trust your ways, Lord. They're higher than mine. Amen? I can trust your timing, Father, because it's always perfect. I can trust your purpose and your plans, Jesus. I can trust your process, and I can choose to not lean on my own understanding, Holy Spirit. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have this choice, this amazing choice to surrender our agenda, our motive and plans, and even our understanding to his will. Thy will be done. Can we say that? Will we say that? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. He wants us to bring his Father glory. Jesus said, just bring glory to my Father. Get me out of the way and bring Father glory. Just glorify my Father. He wants us to help hurting people. He wants us to destroy the works of Satan. That is our gift to Jesus for his birthday. We choose to be doers and not hearers only. G, once again, is I, F, T, and what does it spell? Gift. Lord, I give you my heart. Let's pray. Lord, there is none like you. No one else can touch our hearts like you can. No one else can make good out of evil. No one else can give beauty for ashes. You're the only one that can give joy when there's mourning and sorrow. You're the only one that can give peace instead of pain and torment and fear. And we come to you humbly. And we thank you, overflowing, we thank you that you will turn our hearts to love you, to know you, to grow in you, to have interest in what you care about, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to trust you with all of our heart and not lean on what we can even understand in our little, puny, teeny, weeny minds. We are not all powerful. We are not all knowing. We are not all understanding. You alone hold that. And you can be trusted. But Lord, today we stand before you, and if we do not feel, we've lost the feeling, we've lost the joy, and even as David said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He repented. He had lost that intimacy, that flow of your grace and your presence that gave him power to dwell in your midst. But this is a man that is described as a man of having a heart after you, Father. And in this room and in those that are listening to this, I believe there's hearts that long to do right, that long to come clean. that long to give you glory, that long to be Jesus with skin on to a lost and hurting and hopeless world. Today, Lord, would you just take the offering, the gift that we give you, our hearts. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. Create in me a clean heart, O God.